Ovos. So the Benzema Izel Chacham Alem Mikoladam. Benzema says Izel Chacham, he learns from everybody. Shinema Mikomalam Daiskalti. From all my teachers have I become wise. Alright? Some people learn different shit. They say, from all my teachers I was smarter. Alright? I mean, why do I say Izel Chacham? First of all, if we're going to say that he has that quality, that he has a good midah, that he learns from everybody, so if that's the case, that's just the midah, right? That's not the chachma. The midah, the person isn't haughty, and he listens to everybody, right? So why should that be under his chachma? What else do we ask? Can we ask it like this? That the Rambam says that the person, the Gemara says, nevuah requires three things. It's only sharing a chacham, a gibor, and an asher. Right, and when the Rambam says it means a gibor, it doesn't mean a real gibor, it doesn't mean a conqueror, it means a person who is covetous Israel. And Asher doesn't mean the Navi has to be really wealthy, but it means a Samech B'chalka. So here it's not just the Melitza that we use here, we say that Ezel. This is really the definition, according to the mission. These are the requirements, right? So I'd ask one question. Would you say by a Chacham? Ezel Chacham, when the Gemara says, Chazal says that in order to have Nevuah, in order to wish Nevuah, you need three qualities, right? You have to be Chacham, Giver, and Asher. So will you say this type of Chacham also? Simply, I say no, because the Rambam gives a whole list of knowledge that the person has to have in order to become a Navi. It's not enough if he's just Islam. He doesn't say Islam Mikolaram. He doesn't say that, right? So if he's, even though he's Islam Mikolaram, he's a nice person, he condescends to learn from everybody. But nevertheless, if he doesn't have the knowledge, he can't be a Navi. Navi requires a certain amount of knowledge. Rambam says he has to have knowledge of metaphysics, physics. I mean, he has to have a certain knowledge about the universe. Okay, knowledge of Torah, of course, goes without saying. But a certain knowledge he has to have. He can't just be a lomi kolodim. He's a fool, and he's a lomi kolodim, so they'll make him a Navi. I mean, it doesn't work that way. So why is it that in regard to the other two, we say that this is really the definition? And in regard to Chacham, it's just like it doesn't seem to work out. Should be consistent. Alright? Yeah, Raya, we just brought a Raya. Ebenezer says that Eliyahu was poor. Ebenezer in the beginning of Talmud. Okay. Deris Eliyahu is a poor garment. They didn't have any money. Okay. So the first question is, why is that Ezel Chacham? First question is, why is that considered a Chacham? Because Chacham means a person that has knowledge. Here is just speaking about a person that has an individual characteristic, good midah. I shouldn't say Ezel Chacham, I should say Ezel Chassid, Ezel Tzadik. What Chacham is a different term. And secondly, so far as the Nevuah is concerned, Rambam says you need three requirements. And all of them, he says, are not the literal requirements. Right? It's the Ezel requirement. So how come over here also we should abide by the Ezel requirement? It doesn't seem to be so. All right. And another question we asked in general was, why is it, I mean, what's so special about these four things? There are four things here. Probably something special about it, about these four. Chacham, Gibor, Ashir, and a person who's Mechubit. All right, we have to understand what those four things are in general. All right? Now, we said like this. We said there are two worlds in so far as Chacham is concerned. As far as the Chacham is concerned, there are two worlds. One world is the relative world. The relative world is as far as the particular knowledge an individual has. And that particular knowledge changes. A person who lived 1,000 years ago worked on different theories and different ideas than they do today. The particular knowledge changes with the, as man advances, the particular knowledge changes. So the particular Chachma that a person has is not the same. It depends on man inherently is limited by his time and his environment. The greatest mind in the world is inherently limited by the fact that he's a human being and he's limited. He exists within this time and environment. He doesn't have all the phenomena available to him. Newton didn't have the phenomena that Einstein had available to him. Einstein himself couldn't resolve his unified field theory. He didn't have enough. Could very well be because he lacked information. I mean, there's no information now that he never had. So a man is inherently limited, even though he has the greatest mind. He's only a bus of a dumb. He lives in a given time, a given era. Limited, no matter how intelligent he is, his mind cannot apprehend all the phenomena because all the phenomena are not available to him, and there are certain discoveries which have not been made, which would, even if he is 100% logical, he would not be able to know. All right. So I mentioned that. However, the Rambam says in one of his letters, he says that the tachlis das adam, the farthest the highest developmental stage of man is Aristotle. This is Aristotle's Tachlis Dasa, the highest that man can reach in knowledge, before Nevuah, highest level. Question is, again we asked, as far as man is concerned, people, the scientists today, anybody who wants to know physics is not going to study Aristotle's physics, they study today's physics. Even biology, which was founded by Aristotle, biology today is advanced far beyond Aristotle. Nobody can deny it, right? So why do we say it's Tachlis Das Adam, highest man can reach? Man's knowledge is, and then so far as the relative knowledge is concerned, I mean, there's no question that we're more advanced than Aristotle, right? So the answer is like this. The answer is, when the Rambam was saying Tachlis Das Adam, he didn't mean so far as the particular knowledge that he had. See? He was referring to the man as an investigator. That's what he's referring to. As an investigator, the man as an investigator was the most advanced type of investigator that they could be. That doesn't matter when he lives. If he lived 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, same type of, same person. The point is, an investigator, Aristotle today would have been the foremost investigator of the world. The quality of perfection of the man, the individual, the chacham. Over here, when we're speaking about a chacham, we're speaking about the perfection of the nature of the individual. We're not speaking about the particular knowledge he's mastered. You see? So Aristotle today would be one of the greatest scientists if he was living today. The Rambam today would be one of the greatest investigators if he was alive today. Because there you're dealing with the perfection of the man insofar as the man. That's what a chacham is. A chacham is a person who has reached a certain level of perfection. Okay? That's not a relative anymore. That's an absolute. That's an absolute as far as the individual is concerned. In order for a person to be a chacham, he has to reach a certain level of mind, a certain level of mind over emotion, a certain level of objectivity, a certain level and method of inquiry, and many, many things that are necessary in order to create a true investigator, a true chacham. Now, over here, the Mishnah is discussing those absolute qualities of a chacham. It's not discussing the relative qualities of a chacham. Okay? Now we have to understand why this particular thing that the Mishnah says is the most underlying characteristic, the most basic, fundamental characteristic of a chacham. Why this particular one? The fact that he's a lamed mikol adam. Why is that particular? Why in particular is that the greatest and the most important attribute of the real chacham? So we mentioned like this. We said that there is that the Mishnah saying is like this. That see, a person who is a real investigator, really searches for thought, is influenced by one thing and one thing alone, and that's thought. See, ideas. Now, when a person begins, he's influenced by people. It can't be otherwise. When a person starts to investigate, he starts, he's influenced by people. People play a role. Who he's learning from. See, most people, in the society, not only the type of person, not only his characteristics, but his degrees, his all the externals, things which are nonsensical. Many times those things aren't even accurate. But right. But as a person develops, first he goes for the degrees, he goes to the people who have the degrees, then he goes to the type of person, he's attracted to this type of individual. But then if he really reaches the apex, he really reaches the ultimate, then he's only influenced by one thing, the ideas that are behind the individual. The ideas, not the individual himself. The individual himself plays no role. And we mentioned the Chazal say that how do Reb Meir learn from Acher? Not allowed to learn from Acher, because it says, in Doima Rav Lamal Hashem Tzvakes, was Tzvakesh term Piyu V'mav Al Tzvakesh. So Acher wasn't done with Lamal Hashem, right? So how could Reb Meir do it? Reb Meir Kroashkach. Another pasuk. The other pasuk says you take the grain, you throw away the sheaf, right? Take the kernel. Question is, two pasukim amachishim zuzu? Right? How could you have a Gemara in the, it's a Gemara in Ulan Chagigah, it's the beginning of the second paragraph of Chagigah. What's the pshat? So the pshat is like this. The psukim are referring to two different individuals. The average person is influenced by personalities. Personalities play a role. If personalities play a role, then you mustn't learn by a person who's not Kamal Hashem. See? Because you're going to be influenced by his characteristics. You're going to be destroyed. The purpose of Torah is perfection. So to destroy yourself in terms of perfection and gain another fact is not really important. The important thing is to gain perfection. So that's that level. But Reb Meir was on the level already where he was only influenced by the ideas. The person made no difference at all. You see? That was the level of Reb Meir. Then, on the contrary, then you could learn from every individual. You see? As a matter of fact, I would say, Alemi Mikol Adam means that too. Alemi Mikol Adam means not just from a person that's lower, but he's an individual. What does it mean, Lemi Kol Adam? Why can a person learn from a child? Mar says, Davar Melech is to learn from a, he told God, he says, I'm such an Adam, I'm Melech Yisrael, I learn from a kid in the street. Davar Melech would not be ashamed of Marfa. An idea. Why? Because he was a man that was not only in search of only of true ideas, but was only influenced by ideas. You see? The Mashiach Hashem, only influenced by ideas. Nothing else mattered. So, an individual like that, you see, an individual like that is one who is on the highest level. That's the characteristic of a real investigator. A real investigator only learns his Rebbe is the ideas themselves. The ideas can present themselves through different, it can be mouthed by different individuals. But the real object that he's a student of is the ideas themselves. That's what the Mishnah says. That's why this is the most important attribute of a real Chacham. You see? Ah. That's why we said, that's why this is the essence of a Chacham. Now let's answer the other question. The question was, according to the Rambam, it's supposed to be Ezo. All the three qualities are the Ezo qualities, not the qualities where they seem to us. So the answer is like this, that for in order for a person to be learning Mikol Adam, it's not enough for a person to say, okay, I'll be learning Mikol Adam. I know it bothers me to learn from a kid, but I'll overcome it and I'll learn from the kid. You see? That can't be done. The reason has to be a natural result. And the only way it can be a natural result is if a person, in order for a person to be influenced by true ideas, he has to have contact with ideas. He has to have experienced ideas. If he never experienced ideas, he's not going to be able to be influenced only by ideas. So it requires a degree, a level of knowledge that a person reaches when he starts seeing that the ultimate reality behind the physical realities are the ideas. Then the ideas take such a hold on his nature that people don't matter anymore. It's not something that he could willfully do. He can't just say, look, I'm not going to care about people anymore, I'm only going to care about ideas. That's an impossibility. It will not work. It's not a midah. That's midas you do. But this is not me. This is not a midah. This is a zeh chacham. It's not a midah at all. What is it? It is a natural state of the individual where the only thing influencing him is ideas. That means this person has reached a degree of theoretical perception that is responsible for that. He starts seeing that the whole thing in life is the ideas are really the guiding point behind everything. Like the Rambam says, most people think that the physical is real. But when a person studies and gains knowledge, he finds that the ultimate reality is not the physical. Physical is just expressions. The real reality are those ideas, which the laws of nature, which determine what the physical expression is going to be. Those are the eternal ideas. Those are the real things that are the causative agents setting up the whole universe. You see? So he's influenced by ideas. He sees that ideas are at the root of everything. Then he'll be led. Then he's a really learning Mikol Adam. It's not a mida over here. Most people learn this parak wrong. They think it's a mida. I'll learn from everybody. You're not going to become a chacham by that. Then you're just fighting one emotion against the other. Emotionally, you don't want him, and then you conquer that emotion. I'll learn from this fool over here just to prove him. To go in line with the chazal is a chacham. That's not right. It has to be a natural result. You see, and that's why the Rambam is straight through out. When the Rambam says three, he means the three. He means even chacham also. Because by chacham over here, it means if a person's on that level, he has to have reached a certain level of knowledge in order to have this midah. This midah cannot be attained just by working on your midas. It's a result of a natural level of knowledge. Okay? Another point was mentioned, it's a very good point, that it says, Allah Mekal Adam, somebody learns from everybody, so they say, yeah, but if he's not really influenced by the ideas, he won't know what to learn from everybody. I'll say, now I'm going to learn from a kid. Why am I going to learn from him? But I don't know which idea is correct. A child might say a foolish idea also. You know what I mean? So only a person who's a real chacham can do this, because a person who is influenced only by real ideas can tell, is only looking at the idea. So even though a child will say it, but he can recognize that there's a true idea there. But if he doesn't know ideas, he doesn't know what's real and what's not, how could he be learning to call them? He'll say, okay, I'm going to sit down and learn from every fool. And instead, on the contrary, he'd be better off sticking with a wise man, because a wise man probably knows the things he says are true. Now he's going to go sit down with a fool and say, I want to learn something from you. Our translation is, I have learnt from all my teachers because your Torah, or your system of halacha, spoke to me. Sichali was my speech, was something I conversed in, that which I conversed in. Yes, yeah, so what's the pshat? What does it mean? It means like this, you see. Ki eit veisecha sicholi. He says like this. Take a look in the Tzitzis David. Ki al yedei kulom hoya diburi be'eit veisecha. U bazeh evanti davar mitech davar. You see? Because what does it mean, Kalti? It means that since he was involved in Torah, so no matter who he learned with, he always was discussing the Torah. And he always managed to see new ideas through the discussions. You see? So what he's expressing is this. How can you learn from everybody that taught you? You have bad teachers too. You have some fools also that teach you, right? Mm-hmm. But the pshat is this. If even with a fool you can gain, why? Because once you start talking out the sugya, and you start going into the ideas of the sugya, so even though the other guy might not be so smart, he thinks he's smarter than you, but he might never really be that much smarter than you. He might not be smart at all, right? But the point is you get involved in the ideas, and then you see new ideas. So the point is, what is really the Rebbe over there? The Rebbe is the ideas, not the person.
That's what it means.
The ideas
speak to you. Right?
The ideas.
That's what it means. The
Chachma itself. Chachma
itself
is my...
That's
right. The Evan Ezra says differently. The Evan Ezra says, well, I mentioned this joke before, the Evan Ezra says it's a pshat. Mekom alamdai eskalti means I was smarter than all my teachers. Yoser eskalti mekom alamdai. I was smarter than all my teachers, he says. Because all my conversation has been in your Torah. And this taught me even more than my teachers taught me. You see? So he says, what he's saying is, the same idea. He says, I'm smarter than all my Rebbeim. Why am I smarter than all my Rebbeim? What he means is like this. Ordinarily, you can't be smarter than your Rebbe. Because the Rebbe is the source. How are you going to get smarter than him? He has more knowledge than you, right? So it says, if you're learning from a finite creature, you're right. If he is the creature, he's the individual who has more knowledge than you, so you can only get up to him. How are you going to get more than him? It's impossible. But if you're learning from an infinite creator, but the teacher is only a means of getting into the infinite, so then you can rise above your teacher. You can become smarter than your Rebbe. That's what he means. That's what Ebenezer says. Nice pshat too. But it's the same idea. They call him Alam Vayeskalti. The idea is, what is his Rebbe? His Rebbe, Kiyed Vesecha Sicholi. The Rebbe is the ideas. Same shot. They say Ebenezer pshat, or they say the other pshat. Either way, it comes up to the same shot. That he's the student of the ideas, not the student of people. I'll explain that idea a little better. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, a person was studying style in poetry. Right? Studying style in literature. Studying Shakespearean styles. The man will never advance beyond Shakespeare. He can't, because the subject matter begins and ends with Shakespeare. He might advance up to Shakespeare, but he can't go beyond Shakespeare, because Shakespeare is his teacher. Right? Okay, and that's impossible. He's studying Shakespearean style. So Shakespearean style is the end, that's it. You know what I mean? There's nothing beyond that. But you'll tell me that a person can go beyond Shakespearean style? He's not Shakespearean style anymore. He can go beyond him in style. The only possibility is studying the ideas of style. Then he could see where Shakespeare made a mistake, and he's going beyond that. So if he's studying Shakespeare per se, he'll never get beyond Shakespeare. It's impossible. But if he's studying the ideas behind Shakespeare, then he can go. That's the same. There's the same thing with any Rebbe. That's what we're saying. That if the man is studying the Rebbe himself, if the Rebbe himself is a teacher, he can never go beyond the Rebbe. Can't, because that is the fixed entity. See? The only way he can go beyond the Rebbe is if the Rebbe is only a means to the ideas. Then he can go beyond.
He works on the ideas.
That's right.
If
a person will learn by by the Rav, right? A person learned by the Rav will just try to get to that. The Rav will be it. He'll never be able to go beyond it, because he'll be able to learn up to the Rav. That's it, because he's studying the Rav. Now that's it. But if he's studying ideas, so then he'll be able to see ideas, if he has the ability to see ideas, even beyond the Rav. He'll go beyond his Rebbe. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it is. If the Rebbe is the fixed entity, some people say, well, all I want to do is be like him. That's it. That's not true, because then you're not studying from the ideas anymore. That's the wrong approach. You're trying to be the man. The man is a fixed property. The man is finite. But the ideas are infinite. Now, if you're studying from the ideas, then you can go beyond your Rebbe. If you're studying from the man, that's the object, then you can't go beyond the man. It's impossible, because the man is the measure of the learning situation. You know what I mean? Wrong. Because he won't even get up to the level of the Rebbe, because the Rebbe is studying ideas, you see. A person says, I just want to know what my Rebbe says. So I'm satisfied if I know what my Rebbe says. It's really not true. It's really false. Because, well, it depends on what kind of Rebbe he has. But if he has a good Rebbe, so the Rebbe's studying ideas, right? Yeah. Now, if he doesn't know these ideas, he's just copying his Rebbe, he'll just become a parrot. He'll just become an imitation of something. But he will not be imitating the main essence. That's The main essence is that the man is involved in ideas, and he's not doing that. And if he is involved in ideas,
he's
not even copying the man. He's just copying the superficialities, you know, of the man, but not the real man. The mind's eye is always on the Rebbe, then he can never do it. See, the Rebbe only has to be a means, but his mind's eye can't be on the Rebbe. Give you an example. Another example. Let's say, for instance, at the one time I asked a philosopher to assume a position, a very important position in Heidelberg, as a philosopher. So, professor of philosophy. So he wouldn't accept it. Why? He said, because he says, I can't teach other people's philosophies. I'm a philosopher myself. Yeah? See? Now, that's exactly the differentiation. A person, a man who teaches philosophy, you take your average college professor, he is a student of what Spinoza said, a student of Aristotle, and this. Now, he can, that's scholarship. See, scholarship. What is scholarship? Scholarship is to scholarship is where the person knows he's an authority. He might be an authority in Aristotle, might be an authority in Platonic thought, might be an authority in this. But this man can never go beyond those people, because how can he be an authority in Platonic thought more than Plato? As long as he's more than Plato, it's not Platonic thought anymore. And Plato is the ultimate end, you see?
Philosopher.
You know what I mean?
No,
that's right. That's right. He is studying what the men, what these men have said, you see? But he's not really involved in the ideas at all. That's scholarship. That's what scholarship is. Secular scholarship is, that's what it is. That's why this individual said he couldn't accept the post. It's because you're trying to make me not a philosopher. You want me to say what this guy said, what that guy said. I'm not an authority on what they said. I'm just working with the ideas. And then after I die, they'll be an authority in me. That'll be good enough. That's right. That's right. In the world, there you go. That's right. In the world, there's an illusion of chachma. A man who has titles and degrees, he's a professor, have a certain way about them. It's an image, the image of chachma. So the Mishnah goes, the Mishnah strips chachma of its image and shows you there's only one image that a person should be attached to. That is the idea. It's not really an image. It's the real ideas. And the purpose of this Mishnah is like this. The Rambam says there are the main two perfections. The main two perfections of man. There are really four perfections, the Rambam says. One is insofar as his monetary, his wealth is concerned. That's one perfection, perfection of his estate. Next is, that's the least of all perfections. Because the man can wake up one morning and find out that he's the same guy, he hasn't got this wealth. Next one is his goof, his physical body, but that still isn't man's specific perfection. It's not his essential nature. Because the strongest man is not as strong as the weakest ox. And what is perfection? And then the perfection of man's emotions is midos. That's the ethics. That's more closer in line with man. And the highest is his intellect. Now the purpose, you have to understand one thing, that the basic philosophy of Yahadis is that some refer to it by Sulamut of Artsav Rashi Magiashamayim. It's a good marshal. It means like this. It means that a person, that what Yahadis holds, and this is a very important objective, that a person must not study only those things which are in line with his level of knowledge. A person must study the ultimate. Aye, the fact remains he's so far away from that ultimate. But the point is, knowledge of that ultimate directs his mind's eye towards the ultimate, towards that goal, and really raises him towards that level, even though right now he's not there. It's a very difficult thing, because a lot of people can't do this because it bothers their ego. Like, they'll study about the great man, you know? But when they study about the great man and these great ideas, it makes them feel sick, because they feel how far away they are from it. Yah just demands one thing. That shouldn't bother you. Study what the ultimate objective is. Forget about yourself for a moment. Just study what the ultimate objective is. That improves man, because at least his mind's eye knows where it lies, where it's at. You see, he might not be there now, but the point is the knowledge of this.
Knows
what direction, that a broader scope of where, and this has an effect on a person that he starts moving slowly, you know, towards the ultimate goal. Biggest chasaron in man is, I think the biggest chasaron in man is that he can't do that. Most people can't do that. Because it's too painful for them. You see, they're too involved with their own ego. It's too painful for them to realize a perfection which they know is so far away from their present level. It's too painful, you see. Yeah, just demands that you forget about yourself for a minute. You're on the ground, but the sulam goes all the way to the shemayim. You look at the top of that sulam and realize where. So really, the purpose of learning this Mishnah is to give us the goal of the what the ultimate chacham is. Once you know that goal, you might not be ready for that goal now. Doesn't matter. But if it's in your soul, now your soul knows what the goal is, you can be sure that you're going to be moving towards that perfection. Right? A person is on a ship and he's lost. He doesn't know where to go exactly, where the port is. He looks at the North Star and he has a vague idea it's in this direction. Starts moving towards that direction. Okay? It's getting closer, approaching. Might not know where the city is, but it's in that general direction. He's moving in the right direction. Same thing. Ezel Gibor, second one. Ezel Gibor Kovish Yisro. Shenema Tov Erech Apayim Mi Gibor Umosho Barucho Mi Loch Edir. Pasuk Mishlei. Alright? First, what was the question? First question we asked was Ezel Gibor was, first of all, what's in common between Kovish Yisro and Loch Edir? I mean, there has to be some common denominator between the two. Right? Kovish Yisro means he who subdues his emotions. That's Kovish Yisro. And Loch Edir conquers a city. Great general conquers a city. So it says it's better to be a person that's Kovish Yisro that can conquer his emotions than can conquer a whole city. Question is, I mean, why, what's the analogy? I mean, it's because it's conquering. I mean, there's a lot of types of conquering here. Everything you're going to list all types of conquering here. What's the common denominator? Two different activities. One man is a great general, another man is doing something else. What's the other one? So you word, you use the term conquering. Okay, that's number one. Two, we ask like this. Tov Erech Apayim Migibor. It says it's better to be an Erech Apayim. What's an Erech Apayim? A person who's not a koes. A person who doesn't get angry. Is better than a gibor, than a great general. The question is, again, how does Erech HaPayim fit in here? Erech HaPayim is a cast is a bad thing. So what does that have to do with gibor? It's better not to have a lot of other things bad. Kin is bad, sin is bad, hatayv is bad. All these things are bad. Why do you use Erech HaPayim? You know what I mean? We should say Tov Mishena Misava and Gibor. I mean, why does Erech HaPayim? Erech HaPayim is only one form of conquering the emotions. There are many, many forms of conquering the emotions. Alright? And then also, Heshi Roth asked a good kash. He says, when it says Tov Erech HaPayim mi Gibor, so it would seem to say that Erech HaPayim is not a Gibor. So they're two different things, right? Because it says Tov Erech HaPayim mi Gibor, Velo Moshe Brucho mi Lo Chayir. So it seems that that's not a Gibor. And here he's saying Ezel Gibor. He's telling me that this is a Gibor. This seems to be contradictory. First telling me he's a Gibor, and then you're saying that he's not a Gibor. Right?
What's that?
Okay, so start off like this. Let's take the case of a man who conquers a city. What is basically the idea of a man who conquers a city? What is his basic philosophy? All right? Basic philosophy is like this. Every person is searching for one thing. He's searching for happiness, right? Now, how does he go about his search, his conquest of happiness? How does he go about it? Well, he does it like this. Most people take a look at the emotion within themselves, you know, and they take it as a given. But they're not happy in the present situation. Like the Loch Edir, the general who sees a city that belongs to a lot of people, belongs to another general. He's very unhappy because this situation disturbs him. He wants to be the one that conquers the city, right? As the sole leader of the city. So what does he do? So he changes the reality. What disturbs him is the reality. So he has to make a change in this reality in order for himself to be satisfied, right? Okay. Now this isn't only by a general, but this really works by an average person too. The only thing is that a general does it in big terms. The average person first, he wants his house. That's one conquest. Then he's unhappy again in reality. After he gets that conquest, so he tries for the next thing. So he makes the next move, next change in reality. He has to have a car. Then, of course, once he gets over that, he has to have a better car. So he has another change in reality. He does it in a small way. The general does it in a big way. So everybody knows he becomes the hero. Why is he the hero? Because he's done everything that everybody does in a small way, he does in a big way. That's why he becomes every hero. So the mission is taking the extreme case. You can always see things better in the extreme case. Now, what does the mission say? The mission says one thing. The mission says that this man's plan is really erroneous, really a faulty plan. Why? The truth of the matter is, if the man wanted to be happy, rather than attempt to change the reality, you see, rather than attempt to change the reality, what he should do is change the emotion which is causing him to desire that object, you see. Because as long as, in other words, what the person must do is make him, rather than seek happiness by changing the reality, what he has to do is seek happiness by adapting himself to reality. See, the Gibor is a person that attempts to adapt reality to himself. The Kovishus Yitzro is a man who adapts himself to reality. They both make changes, but one makes changes in the external, and the other one makes changes in the internal. What the Mishnah says is that the ultimate happiness is only when the man conquers the emotion. If he follows the emotion, he'll never be happy. If he follows the emotion, it's true. Today he'll be happy. Tomorrow he wants something else. He will never, not only that, but in every area. It's not just in this particular way he won't be happy. He'll eventually tomorrow want something else. That, of course, is true. But the point is that besides that, in every area of his life, he is the man. See, the man's emotions are really not in line with reality. And everything he has to do all his life is attempt to change all the realities to be in conformity with his emotions. It's a venture which can never ever lead to happiness, you see? But it's impossible to change all those factors. It's humanly impossible, you see? The Chacham, the person who is a real Kovish Yitzro, he's better. Why? Because he has the same objective as the Gibor. The objective is happiness. But his happiness is achieved through conforming his inner self to reality. Then he ultimately finds happiness. He doesn't have to go around changing every single week. He's in line with reality, and he always will be happy. So that's the analogy between the two. Really, the kasha was asked, Gibor, it's true, Gibor and Kovish are two different things. They're not the same. But the reason why the Mishnah puts them together is because they have the same objective. But one way is a bad way to go about the objective, and the other way is the correct way to go about the objective. One way leads in frustration, and the other way leads in happiness. Leads to happiness, you see? Now, the question is, why does it say, Tov Erech Apayim? What is Erech Apayim? Erech Apayim is a person who's not a koes, doesn't get angry. And Chazal singled out Kaz as having a specifically bad effect on a person. Kaz is considered a terrible meter. Why is Kaz such a bad meter? You always think of a guy, so he's a nice guy, but he has a bad temper. I think it's not so bad, you know? If you'd say the man is a vicious guy, you'd say, whoa, keep away from him, you know? I would say, Kass usually don't take it such a bit. He flies off the handle, he gets updated, you know? Why is that so? Why did Chazal single out Kass as such a terrible thing? Kol Misha Kass was a Shiva Madur Gehenim by Nibbaran Bayez. All these different things Chazal said about Kass. One Chazal left another. Why is that so? What's the reason why that's so? I'll tell you why. Because let's define Kass. What is anger when a person is angry? What does it signify? When a person is angry, it means he cannot accept reality the way it is now. Anger means the man is frustration there. I can't stand this reality. So he can't take it. So what he's doing is he really, that's why when a person does things when he's angry, he can do anything he's angry. It's a futile attempt to change reality. If you're a little frustrated now, not really. So he bursts out. Then later, he does crazy things. Then later, he's embarrassed. I shouldn't have done that. I lost my head. What does he lost his head? What he lost his head means is that his mind would tell him, you're not in control of this reality. It's an external thing. So it's a frustrated, you're doing a ridiculous thing. You're trying to change the, you're blowing off your tongue.
That's really the way. That's
ridiculous. You realize later that's ridiculous. Avodazar means an attempt. Avodazar is an attempt to make a change in reality which cannot be made. See? There's only one force which underlies reality, and that's God. A person accepts God, so then he's in line with reality. But Avodah Zarah is an attempt to use false powers to make changes. See? And when a person's angry, that's exactly what he wishes. He wishes he could make this change in any way, through any means. See? That's Avodah Zarah. That's why Erech HaPayim is singled out as the one characteristic that is diametrically opposed to Kovish Yitzro. Because Kovish Yitzro in general means a person that adapts himself to reality. But Koes is a person who cannot accept. Kas is the resistance, the refusal to accept reality the way it is. That's really what Kas is. That's what the expression of Kas is. That's why the Pasuk uses that particular one. See, in Kas, the mind, when a person, see, look at it this way. If a person can make a change, he doesn't get angry. Of course, he goes about it in a rational way. A person's not going to get angry when he can't make a change. A person gets angry when it's too late to make a change. You know, like it's like somebody does and say, why did you do that? Like, it's too late. You know what I mean? If he could change, he's not going to get angry. Now, what is anger? If it's too late, then there's nothing to do. Then what you should do is accept the reality if it's too late.
Right.
Kas is where the person refuses to accept the reality and he bursts out in a frustrated expression. You see?
That's
That's why the meter of Kas is the inacceptance of reality. That's what Kas is. But the difference
also isn't depression or deprived.
Yeah, that's right. It's an extension of the river. But the difference between caste and all those other things are.
That's the point.
In jealousy, whatever it is, you're acting on the thing. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to try. I want that thing. I'm going to try to change. There's still a semblance of reality there.
Right.
He's still operating within reality. And caste is total frustration. Caste says there's nothing. He's unrelated to reality at all in caste. Caste, he realizes it's too late. He gets, so what are you getting angry for? I'll kill you. Well, it's too late now. What are you doing? You know what I mean? The act of caste is a complete absurdity in terms of reality. It's an absurd action in terms of reality. Every other meter, you can't say it's absurd in terms of reality.
Jealousy
is an attempt to change. It's still the possibility of changing it. It's still operating within a rational, some type of rationality. It's true the man should accept the fact that maybe he shouldn't go after it, but it is a possibility of changing it. I'm going to try to change it. Caste itself is the emotion per se of negation of reality. That's what anger is. That's why chacham is never kais. See? One time, Baron Cutler, Zatzal, had it in his office. He had his notes on the table. You know, he has shiurim. Where's the shiurim? So somebody came in and they poured a glass of tea on the notes. So, this is valuable material there. So immediately he got up and then he sat right down. Preserve him. Kass is a reaction a person has when things are too late, when it's too late to do anything. So that's a time when a person should recognize that reality is saying that it can't be done. So what kind of a reaction should have any reaction at all? On the contrary, every other meter at least operates within the realm of reality. That's why you have to have both cases. So the question is, why do you have to have two cases? Tov erech hapayim migibor and emosho berucho milochidir. The first thing you have to start with erech hapayim. If a person is not erech hapayim, that means he has kas, then that man is not reality at all. Okay. But now when the man is in reality, you can say a lochidir also doesn't have to be a koes. A general could plan for years to topple a city. Right? I mean, Alexander the Great wasn't, it might have been a koes, but it didn't have to be. A person could be a great person and not be a koes. Be a great general and not be a koes. You could plan it methodically. You could work on a project for years and years. Things go wrong. If he's a mature person, say, well, that went wrong. We'll try this plan. Maneuver, you know, make the maneuvers. Be a mature individual. That's low chedir. So erech hapayim is the lowest. Erech hapayim is out. If a person's not an erech hapayim, he can't do anything. That's a sign upon not. He has to accept reality. But now that he accepts reality, the question is, where should he place his efforts? You see? So should he place his efforts to achieve happiness in external changes or in internal changes? That's why he has to do it in internal changes. The difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, I always maintain the essential difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, the most central difference, not so much people have an evil versus evil. The main difference is that a tzaddik is a person who makes sure that his internal reality is aligned with the actual reality that God gave him. He recognizes limitations. He recognizes what his life is, what the purpose of his life is, how to live his life. A rasha is an individual that denies God, denies the situation that God gave him, and attempts to make changes in the external world to correspond with his evil emotion. You see, that's the difference. But I'll say that at a certain time a person should get angry. You see? A person should have anger over a vero. The Ram says they should get angry at his family at certain times if they're not doing the right thing. You see, because over there it doesn't mean anger, where it's beneficial. It doesn't mean just get angry. It means where it's beneficial to display that emotion. Then the anger becomes the proper action. At this time, the proper action at this time to change the situation, and over there the situation should be changed. But the situation is not in line. That's right. That is getting the situation in line with reality. Exactly right. That's not really the finest cast. But somebody asked me a kasha. Danny Wolf asked me last year. It says one place around says a person is a chacham never gets angry, and the other place he says the same in Hilchos Deis. Another place he says in Hilchos Deis says a person should get angry at the right things. He says it's tied to the sasri. No, tied to the sasri. The anger that the Rambam is speaking of, the first one, that he never gets angry, that means where the man has lost his mind. He's completely in control of his emotion. See? This is a frustrated expression. See? That never happens to chacham. But the other anger is where the particular emotion that's ordinarily involved in anger is being utilized to correct the situation. That a chacham does. He avails himself of that emotion. But Okay. Now we're doing Ezeu Asher. Ezeu Asher, we said there's two nuschos from Rashi. According to the first nusach, in Rashi, Ezeu Asher means he accepts reality. Samech Bechalka. What's the lesson of Rashi there? That means that he doesn't deny a person. See, usually a person denies reality. He's unsatisfied with reality and attempts to change it. Over here, Rashi says it means he's completely satisfied with the reality of the situation that God gave him. That's an Asher. Because the purpose of Asheris is to reach a certain state in where you're satisfied. So a person could have millions of dollars, but if he didn't reach that state of satisfaction, so then he's not an Asher. Was the purpose of Ashiris. The whole Ashiris is not an accumulation of wealth. Ashiris is a certain state of mind which results from the wealth or his financial situation. It doesn't have to be wealth. So the state is one in which an individual has reached satisfaction. So therefore, if an individual reaches satisfaction with a lesser amount of finances, so then he has reached that state. Okay, that's the first nusach. The second nusach in Rashi is that he's Rashi. Interesting relation. Rashi says that he has a free cheres nefesh, certain freedom of the spirit. What is the freedom of the spirit? Leif tov. Yeah, the freedom of the spirit is freedom. Always means from an enslaving force. What is the enslaving force over here? Rashi says the enslaving force is the desire for accumulation. As long as a person is under the desire for accumulation, so he's a slave, and therefore he never has the freedom of utilization of the money. He always has an element of pain there. Now he says, follow. He said that ordinarily you could describe most individuals' lives as follows. You have there is a certain balance, a certain emotional balance that a person lives at, and all his energy is directed to changing that balance in favor of what we might call a forward movement, and to attempt to avoid a backward movement. You see, a backward movement is always a situation in which he will have less physical pleasures than he has at present, and forward always means we will have more than he has at present. Okay, now that's why sometimes, like, you see a person gets blind, so it's a terrible tragedy, but after a while, if you somehow adjust to it. How does he adjust to it? Because there's a process. See, this is another factor which is involved. There's a process of adjustment. A person always adjusts to any situation, whether it's a tremendous increase in pleasure or whether it's a tremendous decrease in pleasures, an ability to adjust. Usually, I'm not saying that. Of course, every person has a certain limits within his adjustment. If you go beyond the limits, then the individual breaks. But if you don't go beyond those limits of adjustability, then what happens is as follows. The balance reestablishes itself in either direction, and again, all energies are directed towards changing the balance in favor of a forward progression and to avoid a backward one. That's the way it works. But actually, in these different changes, inherently, there is no real change in the individual. In other words, once he reaches the next level, he adjusts there, and now he wants to move ahead. When he moves into the next level, he adjusts again and wants to move ahead. So there really is no change in his happiness, other than through the few moments that he has during the adjusting process when he first reaches that state. Right? Okay. Now that's why Chazal say that is not an usher. If a person has a desire for accumulation, so what happens is, then the money is just a means for this desire. Now, the moment he changes, he tips the balance in favor of now he has more accumulation, so he has pleasure. But then it reestablishes itself, and again, he's in the same state as he was before. So he really hasn't changed his state. But moreover, Rashi's mentioning something even more than that. Rashi says that he doesn't have the Scheres and Nefesh. What is Scheres and Nefesh? Scheres and Nefesh means if an individual is enslaved by this emotion, so it's not just a matter of the fact that he's always always in the same state. He never really progresses to a new state. It's just that the old psychological phenomena reestablish themselves. Not just that, but the point is the individual has no. This freedom means that a person can exercise his will upon his possessions and use them to his advantage. As long as a person has this desire, so therefore he can never really do this, because he has this accumulation need, so therefore he's not a free man, and he can never really use his estate or his wealth for his own purpose. He has no freedom there. The estate is serving the purpose of this enslaving force, you see? So he can never really be a free-minded individual, or feel a sense of freedom from his wealth. All right. What are these two? How do we sum it up? We say as follows. That the truth of the matter is that what is the purpose of wealth? The purpose of wealth is to put a person in the best possible state of existence. What is the best possible state of mind? It's a state of mind in which he is completely free from any needs for concern about the physical. That's now that is only possible if the individual has two things: if he has a certain situation, and if he has a certain mental state. So therefore, if the motivating force is accumulation, he will never ever reach never achieve that goal, because the motivating force in his wealth is accumulation, not needs, not real needs. So then he will always have that. Will just reestablish himself the same again, and he'll be operating with that balance system again. You see. The only man who really can have a cheres and nefesh is a man who is completely, his motivation for wealth is completely based upon his needs, and he doesn't have this enslaving force of accumulation. And therefore, he can reach a state, if he has what he needs, he will reach the state of cheres and nefesh, where he's free from all enslaving forces, external and internal. External because he has what he needs, and internal because he's perfected internally. This state of mind, the state of freedom, is considered by Chazal a very high state, a very beneficial state, I should say. Beneficial because that is a state in which the man is most free and can function best in terms of his derech hachaim, in terms of his personal spiritual situation. Okay, so according to the second pshat in Rashi, this is a zeh washer. A zeh washer means that he's reached this state, a state of total freedom of physical need. Now, according to the first nusach in Rashi. According to the first Nesach HaRashi, it's the acceptance of reality. The ability to accept the reality of the reality of the situation. And the acceptance results in the fact that he doesn't wish to change. Usher and both have one common thing, that the usher is a man who does not desire any further changes. That's usher. Okay. But according to the first one, he accepts reality. According to the second one, it's this freedom of the spirit. Two different aspects. All right. The first one would be more like, well, actually, the first one would be more like the Ramban says in Bereishis about Avram. Vayomas Avram b'seva tov v'zakein v'saveya. He says he wasn't waiting for any eschatshis advarim. He wasn't looking forward to any new changes, new events. That's why most people are looking forward in their lives, to new events. Now the question is the three. We say like this, that these three things are here because we're speaking about the most perfect man, the magnanimous man. What is the most perfect man? My favorite man is like this. He has, first of all, he recognizes the chachma. He knows what the true good is. That's the first requirement. The second requirement is that he is involved in the good to the degree where he doesn't need anything else. Either pshat, you say, whether it's cheres and nefesh or the other way, but both pshatim are, if he's satisfied with the chel that God gave him, it means that he's involved, his life is a good life the way it is now, and he doesn't need any more. In either event, it represents one thing, that his energy, the quantity of energy, is consumed in the good. So first of all, he has to recognize the good, he has to have most of his energy consumed in the good, so that he's satisfied, that's two. And the third one is Krishas HaYetzer. Why Krishas HaYetzer? Because Krishas HaYetzer means, if a person doesn't have that ability, then he could be this way, he could be in this perfect state at a certain given time, but when a new situation arises, and he has new... They can always have a new situation. And when a new situation arises, they have a new resurgence of energy in the wrong direction. Then he has to have the ability to extricate himself from the situation, to look at that force within him as an alien entity, and to overcome it, and to conquer it. So therefore he has to have these, that's why these three are the, not mentioned there. That's why it's Ein Nevuah Sherel Al Chacham Gibor Asher. Okay. Yeah, okay. Some ask the question why it's in the order that it is. Chacham Gibor Asher. Should be Chacham Asher and Gibor. So we say as follows, that it's true, in terms of perfection, logically we have to discuss it as Chacham, Asher, and Gibor. But in terms of how the person reaches the perfection, it goes the other way. Chacham, he has to recognize the good, then he has to have Kovrish Yisrael, and then after Kovrish Yisrael, then he could finally redirect all the energy to become an Asher.